Hi everyone, my name is Juliana and I will be doing Bible reading today. Today's passage is from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. It says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Over to Reverend Ying, who will be delivering our sermon.
Okay. Question I want to put before you on this Good Friday service is, what do you see? What do you see? When you see the barbaric way in which we have killed people, what do you see? When you see these methods of execution over the history of humanity, what do you see? The atrocities that go on during the Second World War, the killing during the Vietnam War, and even more recent times, the 9/11 terrorist attack on New York City, the storming of Washington, D.C. And so the question you've got to ask yourself is, what do we see? What do you see on a day like this? You know, when you see things like this, we are horrified. We are shocked. We turn our eyes away from seeing things like this. We shield our children from seeing things like this. And we cry out in our hearts as we see these things repeated again and again and again. We cry out and say, this is wrong. This should not happen. These are the things that we want to forget. Turn on Netflix, turn on Stan, because we don't want to see things like this. And if we are forced to see things like this, then we do so because we want to make sure these things never happen again. But this is what's so strange about Good Friday. It's a very strange day when you think about it, because it's a day when we sing with joy and gusto. About what? About the barbaric execution of a man named Jesus. And let me say this again, that this cross that we see, it was a form of execution. When you see it, you have to be horrified by it, because that was why it was set up. It was set up so that when people see it, they would never do anything wrong again against the Roman Empire. It was designed to be a slow way of killing people, death by torture. A person who would die by crucifixion would take 7 days, painfully, excruciatingly. And here's the crazy thing about this. When you see this, what do? We sing songs of praise. We celebrate this. We make this a symbol of what Christianity is all about. And why? Why do we celebrate the cross? Well, the question today is, what do you see in the cross? Do you see just a barbaric form of execution, or do you see something else? Well, the Bible wants to say to us, look at it, and I want you to see something remarkably different. Have a look at the passage that was read out to us today. And what was the passage says in Romans chapter 5, verse 6? It tells us, have a look at verse 8. God wants to say to us, I want to show you something. You see the word demonstrate. What's the idea of demonstrating? It's the idea that God is wanting to put on display something for you to obviously see. You, on the one hand, see a death. God wants you to see something else. And what does he want us to see? He wants to see his own love for us. You see that in verse 8. God demonstrates, he displays, he shows, he puts it up all up for us to see. What? His own love for us. His own love for us. That is what he wants to see. You see, at the very heart of Christianity, what is at the heart of it? It is about the love of God. That's what it's all about. But here's the problem. We talk about the love of God, but then you ask yourself, well, where is this love of God? All we see is the suffering in the Ukraine war. All we see are endless people constantly crying about the despair, the brokenness in their family, the brokenness in their own life, the darkness, the disconnection, death. But what does the Bible want to say in response? No, the Bible wants to say, no, see something beyond all that. See the love of God. See the love of God. He has showed us his love. Well, you ask the question, well, where do I see it? Well, listen to what he says here in verse 8. We see the love of God where? In Jesus' death for us. In Jesus' death for us. God demonstrates his love for us in the death of Jesus. See, what is Paul saying here? When you look at the death of Jesus, do you see a barbaric execution? Yes. But God says, do you also see my love? Because in the death of Jesus, God is what? Showing, displaying, asking us to see with our own eyes his love. You see, if you want to see God's love for you, you will not find it in bank balance. You will not find it in your health. You will not find it in your family. You will not find it in your workplace. Why is that? Because if that's where you find the love of God, you know what? Then some people have more love than others, because some people are filthy rich and other people have no money. Some people see the love of God, others don't, because they come from loving families, others don't. They come from broken families. Some people see God's love because their body is so healthy, but others are suffering and dying from cancer. And some people see the love of God because they have such an awesome job, and other people see such a rotten job. And what does Paul say? If you ever doubt God's love for you, then what's he saying? See his love displayed for you forever, ever. Not in the things around you, because when you look at it, that's just rubbish. But you see it in the death of Jesus. There on the cross, God says, look, there is my love. Okay, having said this, I would generally dare say that most of us know this. Most of us know that God loves us. Most of us know that Jesus died out of love for us. The problem, however, is that we're bored with it. We're not excited by it. And in many respects, we don't really bother about it. And why is that? Because we don't realize how big God's love is. In fact, you know what we often think? We often think, well, Jesus loved me, but you know what? So he should have, because I'm actually quite a lovable guy. I'm actually wonderful, I'm good, I'm skilled, good looking. How could he not love me? However, listen to what Paul says here again in that passage. Listen to what he says. Have a look at what he says in verse 7. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person. He's talking about the righteous person and the good person. He's talking about basically good people. He's talking about people who, you know, they're worth dying for. You would be willing to die for. Listen to what Paul says on, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Okay, there are people here who are innocent, who've never done anything wrong. Would you put your life on the line for them? Well, okay, they're good, but maybe not. Or what about a person who's been so loving and kind? Would you die for the person? Possibly. And what Paul is saying here, there are he's talking about a normal situation. In the normal situation, there are people who we might know who are actually worth dying for, sort of. Okay, that's normal. We might consider it. But what does Paul say here? Have a look what Paul says back in that passage there. He wants to say that God does something quite extraordinary. See that little word, but? He wants to say here that God is doing something so outlandish, so crazy, that you as a normal person would think, that's just absolutely stupid, God. Why would you do that? What does he say here? Look at what he says here. Oops, wrong one. He says here, in verse, look at what he says here. Look how he describes us that Jesus died for. He describes us as powerless. He describes us as ungodly. In fact, look at what he says here. He describes us as sinners. In verses 9 and to 10, he goes on further than something else. What does he say for us in verse 9 and 10? Well, have a look at what he says in verse 9, that we were the object of God's anger. That is to say, we're people who actually make God seethingly angry. Or you look at verse 9 again, or verse 10, even worse than that, we are his enemies. What is actually Paul saying here? Paul's saying here that God doesn't do the normal thing. He doesn't do the thing that you and I do. You know what he does? He does the absolutely abnormal thing. He does something which is beyond human comprehension. He dies, you know what? For his enemies. He dies for those who hated him. He dies for those who cursed him. He dies for those who spat on him. I know the people that you would be willing to die for. Your friends, your loved ones, your families, people who have been good to you, you might even consider dying for. But would you actually die for someone who basically gave you hell? Would you die for someone who basically cheated on you and ripped you apart? Who made your life so dark they gave you so much problems in your life? Would you die for that person? I bet your bottom dollar you would not. But God would. See, when you look at the cross of Jesus, what do you see? You know, today, it is Good Friday. But on a day like this, what do you see? When we turn on the TV, what do we see? We see human suffering. We see a picture of human depravity and we see tears and suffering all around us. And Good Friday, we want people to see the cross of Jesus. And when you look at the cross of Jesus, what do you see? You see human depravity in its pinnacle as an innocent man is condemned to death. You see on that cross suffering and oppression and violence and injustice. That's what you see. That's what everyone sees. But God wants you to see something also different. God wants to show you his love. In that he died not for his friends. He died in the place of his enemies. So that those who are disconnected will find love. Those who are in the darkness will find light. Those who experience death will find his life, so that his Father becomes our Father, his future becomes our future, his life becomes our life, his blessing is showered upon us forever and ever and ever. Good Friday, what do you see on the cross? God wants us to see his incredible love. What we proclaim is what we also see in Holy Communion. I'm going to ask Winston to lead us through that.